Today, Pastor Jackie White from Lubbock, Texas is with us. Pastor, he was my pastor. I still consider him my pastor. He is a real father and friend to me and to our church as well. We consider him to be sort of an apostolic covering for our church. And he helps us, provides for us at times wisdom, direction, and even a shoulder to cry on when I feel sorry for myself. So, he's just been a great friend, and I want you to welcome. He's with us this week. Welcome, Pastor Jackie White, as he comes to bring the word this morning.
Thank you, Keith. Well, I bring you greetings from Lubbock, Texas. Anybody here ever been to Lubbock? A lot of you have. What were y'all doing out there anyway? There's not anything out there much, but do what? I said enjoying the dirt. We do have a lot of dirt out there. But the Lord is blessing us in Lubbock, Texas. We just finished our fair. We have an area-wide fair. And for some reason, about 20 years ago, God hooked us up with a unusual blessing. We have a booth and sell corn dogs at the fair. And we had no idea how God was going to take something that carnal, that fleshly, that unhealthy, and use it as a blessing for our church. But over the last 20 years, it has just continued to grow and grow and grow. And now when people talk about Church on the Rock Lubbock, usually the first thing they think about are corn dogs. And I'm here to say we just finished last night. I don't have a report yet, but I did talk to somebody yesterday morning. We had over 600 different volunteers serving our corn dog stand. You say, wow, that sounds like let me just tell you, in 8 days, we don't know the figures. Last year, here's what happens. We take all the money that comes from the corn dog stand and we use it. We give it as a gift to our Dream Center campus, which is an inner city campus, ministers to a lot of different people. Last year, selling our corn dog, we had a gift to give to the Dream Center of just over $130,000. Wow. Now, let me just say something. That's a lot of weenies, okay? And we get the whole church involved. We stick weenies on sticks, and we fry those puppies in this greasy, large stuff, and people buy it like crazy. And we start another ministry this year. Right next to it, we have a little tent where we pray for healing. People eat those corn dogs and their hearts stop beating. We bring them back, and it's just been a death-to-life ministry. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing you. I don't even know why I'm talking about the corn dogs, but it's a blessing of the Lord, amen, to sell that many corn dogs. Pastor Keith said, hey, if you're coming, he said, I'm going to give you an assignment. And I like to go to churches, and most times when you go to church, they say, oh, just preach whatever you want to preach. And so I've been ministering now for 42 years, so I've got about three really good sermons. And so I just kind of rotate those three. But this time, Keith, he said, he gave me a specific topic. So are y'all ready for this? He said, I want you to share this morning about Joshua the Courageous. That was kind of the title he gave me, Joshua the Courageous. And I thought, what a great title. Can I just say that in this room, there are a lot of courageous people. Can I just stop for a moment and just kind of give honor to some people of courage here in this room? Jennifer Watson is a woman of courage. Amen. How many of you know Pastor? I've known this couple for many years now. When they first came to us in Lubbock, y'all stayed at our house for a while, didn't you? Yeah, I really kind of got to know them. They stayed in our house for a while until they got their own place. And I just thought, wow, she took on Keith, and this girl is a courageous, but she really is. She's a woman of great, great courage. And I so appreciate what I see happening here today. Pastoring, those of you who've never been on that side of the church, Maybe you've been a member of a church. Maybe you've been a member of several different churches during your walk with God. But pastoring is a difficult assignment. It really, really is. You're given this assignment from the Lord, and you give yourself to it, and you start with a lot of encouragement and a lot of faith and a lot of dreams and a lot of hope and a lot of vision. And then you meet the people, and you have to try to impart all of that into the people as you're building. You're not just building a church, you're building a family. That's what this is. And Keith and Jennifer have been building this family. And I'm so, I'm just blessed today. As I stand here and look out over you, I see a neat, neat family. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Do y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're part of this family? Now, the thing about families we have to remember is that every family is a little jacked up, you know, and there's some weird uncles and some strange people. And just, in fact, why don't you take a minute, look down the row right now where you're sitting, and if you don't see one of those jacked up people, you're probably it, okay? But Homefront really is a home. It really is a church family where they're endeavoring, and I believe succeeding, to build a spirit, an atmosphere of home. I picked up the little bulletin that I was handed. I just read the first line, and it said, "Take a deep breath, you're home." And that's as far as I read. But I thought, that is what the world is looking for. They're looking for a place where they can connect, where they can be accepted, where they can find love, where they can find tolerance and forgiveness, because we all have issues, and where they can literally just take a deep breath and relax and feel like they're home. So if you're a guest here, a first-time guest, I welcome you along with Pastor Keith. If you've been visiting here, you've been a guest here for several weeks, maybe God's calling you to make this your home. So just take a deep breath, relax. We're not here to put on a show. We're here to experience the presence of God and just relax in His presence. Amen?
Amen.
So let's talk about Joshua the Courageous. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read this out loud. You can follow me. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Can we just stop right there and let the Word of God kind of penetrate into our hearts and our spirits for just a minute? The promise of the Lord is an eternal promise. It's always a certain and sure promise. And God was talking to Joshua, and He said, "I want to give you the promise just like I gave Moses the promise and just like I gave Abraham the promise before him. I want to give you this promise." And I think God has continually released this promise, spoken this promise, imparted this promise to men and women over and over again, generation after generation after generation, and even today here at Homefront Church, because we're part of the family of God, we can lay claim to this same promise that God spoke to Joshua. In fact, just look at me right now and take your hand, put it over your heart right now and just receive an impartation. I declare to you the promise of God over you. I declare that wherever you set your foot, God is going to give you that land. God is going to be with you. And I declare that no one will stand against you. In fact, all of those attacks of the enemy, all of those, all of the strategy of Satan to hold you back, to deter you, to hinder you, I come against that now in the name of Jesus. And I say, none of those things can stand against you. And I declare that just as God was with Moses, just as God was with Joshua, God is with you. In fact, everybody reach over and touch your neighbor now and say, tell them, say, God is with you. Tell them that right now. God is with you. God will not fail you. He will not abandon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now the text that we're going to preach on. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Everybody say the word courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you're the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Come on, let's praise God for that promise. We can be strong and very courageous. This whole passage begins by God making a declaration. He's talking to Joshua and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Every time I read that, I think, well, duh. Surely Joshua understood that. Surely Joshua knew that Moses had died. He was there. They probably had a funeral service. Everyone knew he was dead, but God made a point of announcing it one more time. And something went off in my spirit as I read it this morning, and I think this is a prophetic word for someone. I think this is a very now word for someone, that there is something in your life that needs to come to an end. There are times, there's a great book by Henry Cloud called Necessary Endings. Anybody here read that book besides me? Am I the only one? If you're looking for a good book to read, get that book, Necessary Endings. There are times and seasons for certain things in our life, but there are also times when those seasons must come to an end. There are times when it's okay for things to die. Unless something ends, the new thing doesn't have space to come forth. Amen? Are y'all getting this? I don't know who I'm talking to. It might be a job. Maybe you're in a job and you've been seeing the writing on the wall. God's been trying to speak to you over and over again. I'm here just confirming what the Holy Spirit has already said. It's time for that thing to die. Let that thing die. Let go of that, because God wants to raise up something new in your life. And Moses is dead, and it's a good thing. Moses was a great leader. We're not happy he's dead, but we are celebrating the fact that he completed his work, and now that's over. That necessary ending has taken place, and only when Moses was out of the way could Joshua be raised up. Amen? So, I don't know why I got off on that, but that's good. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, this guy's pretty good. Just tell him that right now. Joshua, you can take his life and divide it literally into three almost equal parts. First of all, do you realize Joshua was born in slavery? He was a slave in Egypt. And for the first 40 some odd years of his life, he spent living as a slave. But even though he was a slave, there was something different about Joshua. If you read his story, if you study his life, you realize that there was something different about Joshua. He was not your normal slave. He was not your average slave. Even though he had been born and raised in slavery, even though he was under the heavy hand of Pharaoh, he didn't let that spirit of slavery get on him. There was something that made him different. He spent 40 years as a slave, and then when they received their release, one of the first assignments he got from Moses was to go as one of the 12 spies. You remember that story? Out of the 12 spies, 10 of them had that slavery spirit on their life. They couldn't break out of that slavery mentality. They were slaves before, and they were still slaves after they were released. And there's somebody in this room today, and I want to tell you something. You've lived under a spirit all of your life. Maybe it was passed on to you by previous generations. Maybe you've believed the lie that the devil has told you that your father was this way, your grandfather was this way. This is the way it is in your family. You believe that as, and it's a lie, and it's kept you in bondage. And I'm here to tell you something. Just as Joshua had a different spirit in him, you can have a different spirit in you as well. Those 12 spies went in, and the 10 that had that spirit of slavery on them, all they could see were the giants in the land. Well, I'm talking to somebody right now. Pastor Keith, I hope I get to the sermon. But that's okay if I don't. Because somebody's here today, and the Lord wants to set you free and let you understand that you're viewing your life through a spirit that God never intended you to live under. Yes, there are giants in the land, but those giants are nothing for us to fear. Those giants are something for us to overcome. Amen? So 40 years as a slave, then he spent 40 years in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness. Don't discount the season of the wilderness. God can take even the most desperate seasons of wilderness in your life and use it as a means of preparation for you. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is here today. I'm feeling a strong prophetic anointing. Is that okay? I feel like I'm prophesying over some lives right now. You've been going through a wilderness. It's been a dry time. You've wondered, what in the world is going on? It seems like I'm always under this cloud of this wilderness. God, what are you up to? God is building something in you. God is developing you. He is training you. That's what the wilderness was for Joshua. You say, well, it wasn't fair. Joshua was ready to go into the land immediately. He was one of the two spies that had the faith. Yeah, it wasn't fair. He should have been blessed more than having to go through 40 years of wilderness. But even though he was in that wilderness, God was still using it for his benefit. Somebody needs to get out of your pity party today, because you're going through something that's not fair. You're experiencing something, and you're not the one who made the decision. In fact, one of my points that I want to talk about later is that courage is whenever you realize that there are some things that are beyond your control, but you do not allow those things to control you. Wow. That's a good, I don't know which point that is, but that's a good point. Joshua was in the wilderness because of the other 10 spies' unbelief. He was in a situation that was beyond his control. He didn't cause it, yet he was having to live through it. But in the midst of what seemed to be a wilderness experience, God was using it to develop his life. Remember the story of when the Amalekites came and they sent the armies down? We always talk about the part of Moses went up on the mountain and he raised that rod. And when Moses would raise the stick, Israel would win. When his arms got weary and he'd let the rod go down, the Amalekites would begin to prevail. So finally, you remember Aaron and Hur came and set Moses on a rock, stood beside him, holding their arms up. And we all talk about, woo, a great story. Moses, Aaron, and Hur holding up the rod of God's authority. But if you read that story, you know who was down in the valley leading the troops in that battle? It was Joshua. God was preparing him. Now, he's at the stage of his life. He's at that third and final stage of his life where God says, now, I'm going to use you to raise up and to lead these people over the river and lead them into the promised land. So, four things I want you to write down today. Four little statements. This is about your being courageous. This is about being the person God has developed you to be and called you to be. Number one is this. Be courageous. Break out of the status quo. Refuse to be average. Refuse to be average. I don't know what it is, but I think that most Christians are looking for a place where they can hide. They're looking for a place that is comfortable. That's why earlier when I talked about this being a home atmosphere, you said, oh, that's what I'm looking for. Oh, I just want to come and just relax and sit on the next to the back row and just kind of hide. And I just want to be average. I don't want Pastor Keith to really, I want him to know my name, but I don't want him to really know a whole lot about me. I just want to be average. Can I tell you, you need to break out of that thing. You need to refuse to be, in fact, everybody reach over, touch your neighbor again. Tell them, say, you're not average. Tell them that right now. You are not average. You're more than average. Break out of the status quo. Well, you know, here in the Metroplex, our big deal is we just try to survive the traffic. And just, you know, kind of get a job and root for the Cowboys. And can I tell you, and I'm a fan of the Cowboys, but y'all remember all those years we were 7-7? Nobody talks about those years because it was just average. It was just average. God's not looking for average Christians. In fact, He didn't create you to be average. He created you to be courageous, to break out of the status quo, to break out of that spirit of just being average, just being normal. You're not normal. Some of you going, oh, I knew she wasn't normal. I knew something was a little special about her. You're all special. God's calling you to break out of that thing. Be courageous. Number two, write this down. Be courageous. Do not allow things beyond your control control you. I've already talked about that a little bit. Do not allow things beyond your control to control you. Huh. I have a lot of deep concerns about where we're at as a nation today. I'm concerned about a lot of the things that people are putting on social media today. A lot of good Christians are putting a lot of crazy stuff on social media today. I think that's their way of trying to deal with all of the trouble that's in their spirit. I think that's their way of trying to deal with all of the concern that they have. But can I tell you, that's not probably not the best way to handle our concern about what's going on. Because there are a lot of things that are happening that are beyond our control. I have no control over what happens in North Korea. I have no control over what goes on in Cuba, in Havana, Cuba today. I have no control over the hurricanes. I have no control over Washington, D.C. How many of you understand what I'm saying? We just need to understand, there's a lot of stuff. You might think that all you're talking about it and all you're posting on Instagram about or whatever you post on, all the stuff that that somehow you have some kind of control, that your thoughts are making a difference. Let me just tell you, none of your Facebook posts about the president, for him or against him, is making a bit of difference. I'm just being honest with you. That is beyond your control. But it doesn't have to control you. You don't have to live in a spirit of depression simply because of some of the stuff that's going on in the world today. You don't have to live I'm going to push on this. You don't have to live in poverty just because there's economic difficulties in your neighborhood. You don't have to live in bitterness just because people have lied about you and betrayed you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's some things that are beyond your control. I'll never forget, Pastor Keith, and this is I've learned this to be true. Years ago, I just started the church that I pastor. It was about the size of this church right here, and I was having more problems. I had people giving me so many headaches. I had more issues. It was like every Monday morning I'd get up and I'd put on a fireman suit and just fight fires all week long in the church. This person was unhappy about this. This person was mad at that person over there. We had this, they didn't like the way this music went. We had all these issues, all these complaints and all. And I remember I talked to Pastor Moore Sheets, who was my pastor. And I said, well, how do you deal with all that stuff? And I'll never forget what he told. He said, let me just tell you how some of these things get taken care of. And I said, well, how did they get taken care of? He said, there are some issues in a church that you either outgrow, and when you get larger, those won't be as important an issue. As you grow, you'll have the wherewithal to hire some staff, and then you won't have to fight those fires. You just tell, hey, Keith, you go take care of that. You outgrow them. He said, some of them you have to outlive. That was so true. We did a few funerals, and the church just got in such a better place. Y'all are laughing. I'm telling you the truth. I loved them, but bless God, they went to be with Jesus. And they were happy. I was happy. The whole church rejoiced. There are some things that are beyond your control, but you don't have to let them control you. Amen? Number three, here's the third thing. Be courageous. Develop a faith that will sustain you through the defeats. Develop a faith that will sustain you through the defeats. I believe that the church has had a faulty understanding about faith. I believe that in many of our lives, when we think of faith, we only think of faith in the idea that faith always prevails, that faith always wins, that faith always means victory. But sometimes the greater faith is not the faith that brings the victory. But sometimes the greater faith is the faith that you gird yourself up in that faith. You find comfort, you find strength. You keep going even in the defeats. In most churches today, they never talk about the defeats. All they talk about are the victories. The victories. Can I be honest with you? You're not going to win every time. You say, well, Pastor Keith said that we're victorious people, that you know we need to believe God for the abundant life. We need to believe. Our verse in Lubbock this year is Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or even think. I mean, we're about being victorious. Can I just say, yeah, we're going to win. We're going to be victorious. We are victorious people. But not every day is a victory. You will go through some defeats. I've prayed for people and seen miraculous healings. I prayed for other people and they died. You say, well, you just didn't have enough faith. No, 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 no. Don't put that on me. Sometimes the greater faith was the faith that I walked in after that person died. And I put my arms around that young man who just lost his wife, was left with three little boys to raise. I remember that situation. And I held him close and said, Joel, you're going to make it. It takes greater faith to walk after that defeat than it did if God had raised her up. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's being courageous doesn't mean you don't ever worry. It doesn't mean you don't ever have fear. It doesn't mean you're never afraid. It doesn't mean you never face defeat. Being courageous means you get back up and you keep on moving. Joshua was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. They had a phenomenal victory at Jericho. The walls came down. God showed up. And on the heels of that great victory came a defeat to one of the little towns, the little Ai. You remember that story? Be courageous. Be courageous. Develop a faith that will sustain you and will keep you moving, even through the defeats of your life. Let's stop right here. The Holy Spirit's here. Oh, somebody, you've just gone through a season where you've lost. You've just come through a season where if it was a football team and we looked at the record, you have a whole lot more losses than you have wins. It's one of those 1-9 years, one of those 2-8 years, maybe an 0-10 year. You've just come through a season where you've seen defeat after defeat after defeat. You've lost a lot in the last little bit that you've come through. And you're very discouraged. And you're very weary. And you're very tired. And you feel like you have no faith left. I'm here to declare to you, you have faith. God has given you faith. You need to allow that faith to rise up in you and to sustain you and to carry you on even in this season of defeats. That's courage. The last one, write this down. Number 4, be courageous. Refuse to be limited to your talents and abilities. Joshua had no right to be a great leader. He wasn't born into leadership. He wasn't born with the character, with the abilities, with the talents to be a great... He was born as a slave. How does a slave grow up to be a national leader? How does that happen? You've got to plug into the Lord and refuse to just stay limited by your own talents and abilities. If we only do what we can do, we'll never do enough here on this earth. Are y'all with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Pastor Keith has got to go beyond what Pastor Keith can do as a pastor. Are y'all hearing me? You go, well, he's a talented guy. I don't care how talented he is. He doesn't have enough talents. God wants us to get beyond ourselves and begin to live in a higher level. Amen? Everybody with me? So we're going to be courageous. Close your Bibles. Look right here. I need to illustrate that last point. Have you ever thought that you knew what you were doing? You kind of had it down. You thought, I'm equipped for this. I can handle this. I have the ability to do what I'll never forget. I have a beautiful wife. I have 3 daughters, all married. All of their husbands have jobs. None of them live with us. Praise God. I then had 8 granddaughters. A wife, 3 daughters, 8 granddaughters. We're talking our home was, well, I'm not going to eat, well. 2 years ago, I had my first grandson. Bless his heart, he didn't have a chance. I remember, I got married when I was 21, and my wife and I, we waited 5 or 6 years before we had our first child. I think we were 26. And our first child, her name is Paige. I don't know if any, you know, Keith and Jennifer know Paige. Paige is on our staff at our church. She oversees our missions ministry, and she speaks. She's on our communication team. She's a phenomenal preacher. She's speaking at a retreat next week for churches, and she's written a great Bible study. She's working on a book. And she's just an amazing person. But when she was first born, just as a little child. I was older. I was 26. I mean, I wasn't just a kid. I had a little bit of age to me, a little bit of maturity. And I was ready to be a father. I was just ready to be a father. You know what I'm saying? And I was pretty certain that I could do it. I'd read, back then, James Dobson was the hot author, and I'd read his books and about parenting, and I was ready to be a parent. And I'll never forget, my wife had this concern that I wouldn't be a good father. She was afraid that I wouldn't be able to handle the baby. And I said, I can do anything. Anything you can do, I can do it. I said, trust me, I can take care of this baby. Well, the greatest thing back in those days, I don't know if they still make this or not, but she was about probably 4 or 5 months, maybe 6 months old. We had one of these swings that you put them in this little swing and you crank that puppy up. Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that? I could put her in that swing and she was just as happy as could be. She'd just be sitting there swinging. And so I thought, man, as long as I got that swing, I know how to stick a bottle in her mouth, I can take care of this baby. And I'll never forget the first time we had this long conversation. I'll never forget my wife was invited to go to like a wedding shower or something. And she said, I can't find a babysitter. And she said, the grandmothers aren't available. No one is here to keep the... And she was so concerned about it. I said, Linda, I can take care of it. Don't worry. She said, well, this thing will be about 2 hours. 2 hours? I can handle this baby for 2 hours. And I was like, you just go. And so she left, and I thought, I can't believe she doesn't trust me to handle this baby. So I before she left, she changed the baby's diaper, had the bottle ready. I stuck her in that swing. I cranked it up, and she's happy sitting there in that swing, you know, just a little baby. And I'm there, and I think it was a Saturday afternoon, so I'm watching football. And I'm thinking, there's nothing to this parenting thing. I got it down. I've got all the ability I need. I've got all the talents I need to pull this off. I'm watching the football game, not paying a whole lot of attention, and she's swinging over there. I'm in the living room. I'm sitting in my chair watching TV. She's over here. She's in her swing. She's going back and forth. All of a sudden, she's not making any sound. So she's not crying or anything. But all of a sudden, this little odor, I smell something. And I looked over there, and this little precious baby had just had this kind of a, it was like this diarrhea bomb went off, okay? Now, let me tell you how bad it was. It was so bad, the diapers didn't contain it. And it was, y'all have to forgive me. I know we're in church, but for the sake of illustration, it was wet, loose, horrible smell. And I looked over there, and she was in that swing, and I cranked that puppy up to high. And that swing was right in the middle of our living room, and we had Now, I don't know if y'all do this, but some smells, y'all ever get like that? And I know they're precious. I see this little baby you're holding. I don't know whose baby that is. Okay, so I said, dear God, I hadn't talked to y'all in a while. You know, I didn't. I know they're precious. But after just a few months, they can create some smells that are unbelievable. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm looking at this and I'm realizing, whoa! This is not what I signed up for. I'm equipped to be a parent in a normal situation, but this is not normal. And I'll never forget this. I don't know why I'm telling this story. What am I trying to illustrate again? going beyond our talents and our abilities. Never forget this. I called my wife. And I said, honey, you've got to come home. She said, why? What's wrong with the baby? I said, well, I think she's okay, but you really need to come home. She said, well, tell me what's going on. I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. But you've got to come home. She said, well, is the baby okay? I said, the baby has diarrhea. She said, well, just change the diaper. I said, no, you don't understand. You've got to come home. And in the, she finally pulled it all out of me, and I told her, I said, I put her in that swing, and she had this horrible accident. And I said, it is all over the carpet in the living room. And I'll never forget this. My wife, on the other end of that phone, this was before cell phones, by the way. I had to track her down. On the other end of that phone, I'll never forget her saying this. She says, I am not coming home until you've cleaned everything up. And she said, you think you can handle this? Let's see it. She was so mean to me. She was just so... I said, Linda, I can't do it. She said, yes, you can. I said, I don't want to do it. She said, I don't either. She said, when you've got it all cleaned up, call me and I'll come home. Now, let me tell you why I'm telling you that story. I wasn't equipped for that. I had to go beyond my ability, my training, my talents. It was messy. It was nasty. It was horrible. But I got it done. Could be one of the most courageous things I've ever done in my life. Somebody here. Right now, your life is a mess. Things are not taking place the way that you had envisioned them taking place. If it could go wrong, it has gone wrong. Some of you, there's some situations that you're facing, and it's just not normal. I mean, the effects of what's happening, they're wide. They have a wide scope. And you're thinking, I'm not equipped for this. I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I trust you. I assure you that Joshua had those same feelings from time to time as God said, I'm calling you to lead these people. Therefore, you better be strong. You better be very courageous. You've got to go beyond your ability, beyond your talent. You got to jump in there and clean up something that you don't want to clean up. You got to jump in there and deal with something you don't have any idea how to deal with. You've got to jump in there and with courage turn something around. You hear what I'm saying? Everybody look right here. How many of you would say, you know what, Pastor? Boy, the Lord's speaking to me this morning. The Lord has already spoken to me that it's time for a necessary ending to take place in my life. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you that it's time for you to understand that every day is not going to be victorious. There will be some defeats. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you that He wants to give you, He wants to impart to you a grace, a faith, a talent by the Holy Spirit that goes beyond what you're capable of doing. And that's what you need to make it. You need His help. Maybe you're just sitting and you're going, you know what? I need some courage. I'm facing something and I've been avoiding it. I don't want the conflict. I don't want the problems. I don't want to have to deal with it. But you know you have to do it. You need courage today. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what applies to your life. But today you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I just need an impartation of God's grace and courage in my life. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Don't worry about anybody else looking around at you. It doesn't matter. You just say, I need some courage. I need some grace. Those of you that raise your hand, stand up. I'm just going to pray over us right now. Just go ahead and stand. As you stand there, you might want to just hold your hands open in front of you and let God impart His Spirit to you. Father, I pray for everyone in this room right now. I trust that the words that I've spoken maybe have been from You. I know maybe some of them were just of my flesh, and I ask You to forgive me for those. But Lord, I really sense that Your presence is here. I really sense that You're speaking to hearts. I believe that You're encouraging some people here today. I believe that You're directing some people here today. Father, I believe that You're speaking prophetically to people here in this room today. For some, this is a season of endings. For some, this is a season of preparation. For some, this is a season of wilderness. For some, this is a season of defeat. For some, this is a season of great victory. But Lord, we all need Your help. We all need Your impartation of grace and of courage. And Father, I pray for everyone in this room, those standing, those seated. Pray for every person. That Your Spirit would minister to us right now. It would touch us, encourage us. Pray for healing where healing is needed. Pray for vision where there's been no vision. Father, I thank You for Your presence in this house. Now, with everyone, your heads bowed, your eyes closed, would y'all all just stand to your feet right now, everyone in this room? I want to just pray a prayer of blessing over every person here in this room. So everyone, just stand to your feet. Pastor Keith's going to come in just a moment and close this service, but I want to bless you today with an encouragement, with a word from the Lord that maybe is just for one person, I don't know. But every time the body of Christ comes together, we're here in the presence of God. God's presence means everything. It's the presence of God that can change a life. It's the presence of God that can heal the sick. It's the presence of God that can draw people. So today, I believe the presence of the Lord is here. And as you stand there with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, listen very, very carefully. I want to explain something to you. Every one of us in this room, we all have issues. We all have problems. We're all sinners. That's what the Bible says. We're not perfect people. There's only been one perfect one who's ever lived on this earth. His name was Jesus. Because we're all sinners, sin keeps us separated from God. Only Jesus lived without sin. And so only Jesus was the one who could bridge the gap of sin that keeps us separated from God. So God sent Jesus to this earth to die on a cross. When He died on the cross, He paid the price for your sin, for my sin. And the Bible says this, that when a person will simply believe in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised Him from the dead, when you'll believe that in your heart, then you can confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, and you will be saved. That's how the verse reads. You will be saved. That word saved means this. It means that, first of all, you're forgiven. All your sins are forgiven. All the stuff you've done, it's washed away. You're made whiter than snow is what the Bible says. Secondly, it means that when you die, you'll go to heaven. But the third thing it means to be saved is that the very presence of God that we feel in this room, that presence lives in your heart. That presence of Jesus goes with you day by day. Now, everybody's heads bowed, every eyes closed. This is just between me, you, and God. But let me ask you a question. Is there anyone here today you've never truly opened your heart and said, Jesus, I believe in You. You've never truly opened your heart and said, I want You to come and be my Savior, be my Lord. I want You to save me. Nobody's looking around. Just between me, you, and God, you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to open my heart. I want Jesus to come and be my Savior. If that's you, raise your hand up right now. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here? You've never done that. You want to do it right now. And say, I want Jesus to come, be my Savior. All right, I speak a blessing over every person here. May the presence of God dwell in your heart richly. May His presence overshadow you like a cloud. May God pour out favor upon you. May His favor surround you like a shield and settle on you like a crown. May you know grace. May you know courage. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give God a clap offering. Pastor Keith, come. Close us out here.